Well, good morning, everybody. How you all doing? You see, I'm turning to what they call it, the Northerners. They say, how you all doing? How you all doing? Oh, son, there you go. So they don't say that in the North, they say that in the South. So anyway, well, kingdom greetings. I pray that you are ministering to you, or the Lord is touching you, and the presence of God is ministering to each one of you. You know, last week we began talking about we are a church, a disciple-making church. And it's amazing. I think each one of you here that took the time to email me your answers, because I had two questions last week. Remember what the questions were? If I can put it on the screen. We're still working at this. Talking about biblical foundation for relationship and discipleship. And I realized, Kendra, why don't you come up here? Kendra's going to talk to you guys with me today. Today we're having a chat, right? That's what sermon is about, all right? It's always like... Right, yep. Oh, I almost forgot about that. You need a woman in your life, I guess. It's good. Before I continue, Friday and yesterday, me and a couple of great people went to Charlottesville to a presence-based seminar. That was how many hours? I mean, by the time we left here, it was almost over 24 hours of fellowship and encountering God. So last night I asked him, I said, hey, guys, I want you to give your testimonies. I want you to tell the church what the Lord has shown you and what you've learned. So I'm asking them one by one. They can decide who goes first. But yeah, I'll start with Quinn. How about that? All right, put your hands together for... Oh, yeah, Jerry, hey!
I realized that I was the oldest one in the group, so I have to go first. So one of the biggest things I found out this weekend is why the Lord has been waking me up at 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was old age, and it was partly that, but we learned that God wakes us up to pray to him, and... So it's been a real blessing, because I did wake up again last night. And so the question is, what is God saying to us? What is God speaking? Because God does speak. And so when he wakes us up in the morning, we need to be asking, God, what is it? Do you want me to pray about? And so this morning I did have that opportunity. But one of the things that I... just gathered from this seminar was that God is sovereign. He's a king. And we don't always know how to relate to a king.
That's so good.
And so as we thought about how we relate to a king, we realized that our yieldedness is very important. We are yielded to his sovereignty. He is going to do what he wants to do, not what we want to do. And he wants our best. He wants what's best for us. One of the things that we talked about was our primary purpose. Mm. What is my primary purpose
Come
in
on
life?
Now.
It's ministry to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're all priests. Realize that we're all priests, and priests minister to the Lord. So kind of a new thing for me to just kind of realize, when I walked in this building this morning, I'm here to minister to God.
Amen.
You came. Did you know that you were here? You came because you are to minister to the Lord. Well, just a new, kind of a new thought to come into his presence. Mm-hmm. And we have to make room for encountering God.
Amen.
God wants us to acknowledge him. We can show our affection for him. We can listen. Sometimes it's in silence, that we hear. And it's important that we write them down, what God says to us, and then do them. Be obedient. We don't seek experiences.
Amen.
We seek God.
Amen.
And that's why we're here today. We seek God's presence. We seek His face. One of the expressions that our leader talked about was whether you are a run-aheader or whether you're a lag-behinder. So we need to be walking in step with His Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Jerry. All righty. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So good. Doesn't she look beautiful?
Until she cries. Obviously, Jerry is the teacher among us. So I just wrote down some things that really spoke to me. And they're just highlights. Maybe they'll stir up some interest in you to get the book that goes along with this study and read it. I haven't read the book yet, but I think it's going to be really good. One of the first things we talked about is what Jerry said, yielding to God and making room for Him in our everyday lives. And yielding to Him means giving up control. And I really like control. Mm-hmm. And when you live alone, you get complete control.
Amen.
It's a good thing, but it also tends to make you selfish a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a little bit harder to bend. And I used to bend very easily. I kind of just, and now I'm like, do I really want to do that? Well, the Lord speaks to my heart and says, yes, you really want to do that. Another thing we talked about was silencing ourselves. Mm. I have my television on. This is way too much information about me. I leave my TV on all day long, unless the radio's on, you know. But I turn it on in the morning, and I don't turn it off until I go to bed. I don't sit and watch it, but it's a voice in my home. After Tim passed away, I didn't like the silence, and now I've gotten used to just turning the TV on, not on a station that just talks primarily. And it doesn't stop me from what I'm doing, but what I learned is it stops me from silencing myself before the Lord.
Come on now.
That busy noise makes my busy brain work harder. Mm-hmm. And I need that time. The pastor said, put it on your calendar. Write it down. That this is the place that you're going to sit in your home. This is where you're going to open your Bible. This is where you're going to study. This is where you're going to read. This is where you're going to silence and listen. And I thought, I have not done that in a long time with that determination, that intention, you know, making it intentional. Another thing we talked about was gathering. Just gathering. The importance of being here in face-to-face because God is face. Face-to-face because face-to-face with others for fellowship, but face-to-face because God is here with us.
Amen.
And taking the time to see His face. He talked about His children and how His children, you know, He has 4 children and He has children that want to see Him and talk to Him, a child that calls Him every day. He has children that don't call Him. And, you know, the greatest compliment, especially as you get older, is that your children seek your face. They want to see you. They want to talk to you. They want to be with you. And He, in that light, that God wants us to see Him face to face. We want to desire to see Him.
Amen.
To abide, to be with, to habitate with God. And stop telling people about Jesus and start revealing Jesus to others.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Kathy. So good. Quinn.
Yeah, I got a text message the other week from Pastor Ricardo, and he said, hey, a team and I are going up to Charlottesville for this conference. I didn't know what exactly it was about, but I was like, yeah, that sounds good. I had some other things that were going on. My parents were coming into town. I had a concert I was going to last night, but those plans changed.
Amen.
And for the better. And many times the church has put off people.
Come on now.
The church has become something that the Spirit of God does not really want to be a part of or not, has not really meant. Mm-hmm. One of the first things he started out with was the church has lost its way. Mm-hmm. Because more often than not, we meet to learn about God than learn from God.
Mm-hmm.
And too often in my past, I grew up in the church. Too often in my past have I come to church out of a religious obligation. Too many times in my past
come
have I
now.
Put on the right clothes, but inside I'm dead.
Mm.
And I know it's a lie when I come, but I have to put on a face.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to be the church.
Come on now.
Not just do church.
That's right.
He wants us to be his children. He wants us to be a family together.
Yep.
To love on each other, to care for each other, to hold each other, to laugh with each other. I knew everybody we went with, but just in that small time of 3 hours up to Charlottesville, in Ricardo's truck, five of us, we got to know each other.
Amen.
On a different level. There's been two times in my past that I've gone somewhere, have not known people. But when I've got there and started fellowshipping with them, I've felt like I've known them my whole life. The first time was 10 years ago when I went to Tacoma, Washington for a conference. I met a couple out there, and I felt like they were my long-lost brother and sister, especially him. We were two peas in a pod. So amazing. Second time was when I went on a missions trip to Uzbekistan. And I met this couple there. Amazing, amazing. We connected on such an amazing level. And this trip going up there, we connected with each other, I felt. I feel we came back much more connected to each other than what we were when we went. And that's what God wants.
Amen.
When we meet. He wants us when we meet to leave much more connected than when we came. One to him and to each other.
Yeah. So good. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Hallelujah.
Good morning.
You can't hide. I see you, Laurie.
I was not in the pickup truck with five people. I was in the car by myself. So I was thankful for some time by myself. But I was thankful because I was working, and usually Fridays are our busy days, and usually I don't get off work till 6. And amazing thing happens. I got off at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock and basically got there at the same time they did because of traffic. But when I went there, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was, all he said was just, hey. He just said, hey, there's this seminar. I want you to come. I want you and Ange to come. Ange wasn't able to go because some things fell through. She told me I needed to go. I said, yes, I need to go. So the seminar we had, the thing that really spoke to me was we had five sessions, and after every session, we just stopped, and we just had a moment just to listen to God, and that's something I haven't done in a long time. And I mean, it was like 5 or 10 minutes of just like, he put on a little bit of music, and we just listened to it, and we just spoke to, you know, ask God, what are you saying to me? And something that's been going on for me is I feel like I've been going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And I've just been so busy with everything that I have not woken up early, you know, to spend time with them. It was just a good time for me just to sit down and refresh my relationship with him. And the one thing I sat there and I said, I asked him, I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? And I didn't expect to hear anything. I just said, you know, I'll just sit here and listen to the music play and I'll just be quiet and just listen. And he said, I heard him say, don't worry about going from one thing to the next. Take time, quiet yourself and listen to me. Take time and talk to me and spend time with me. So
good.
That's what I'm going to start doing.
Yes.
I'm going to stop rushing from one thing to the next to the next. And I'm going to stop, wake up in the morning, spend time with him, and just listen to what he has to say to me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on now. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I love you, Laurie.
Thank you. He knows I don't like to come up here. I guess I don't articulate things that I think and learn and feel very well. So what I could do is probably try to make like an analogy for sort of the picture of what we were trying to get at with what we learned. And one of the first things was the things that God asked you to do are simple, but they're not easy. So it's real simple for him to say, well, get up and give your testimony, but that's not easy. So here I am, but that's just an illustration. And the other illustration I think that I want to give is the car ride up there. And it was funny because during the seminar at one point, he said something, I don't even remember what he was talking about. He said, get in the car. And it's kind of like a picture of what we're supposed to be doing. We have our agendas, and we have what we think should be happening and how things we think it should look and how it should go. And we want to know step by step by step, what is it? What are we going to do? What's the next thing? Who's going to do it? And when this opportunity came up, someone told me you need to go, and I thought, well, I got all this other stuff I got to do.
Come on now.
there are about 1,000 reasons I shouldn't go to this, and I got in the car. I didn't know where we were going. Uh-huh. I didn't know anything about what we were going to be doing. I didn't know where we were staying. I didn't know what we were going to eat, except he said, bring something if you want to eat something, so I brought something. Uh-huh. Packed like a missionary, I did not know what that meant. Does that mean I bring a tent? Or does that mean I don't bring very much at all? So I just brought some stuff. And it was simple, but not easy. And we get in the car, and there are 5 of us, and we're squished in there. So it's not comfortable, and that's when we're going on a journey, and we don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing. It's not comfortable, but we're supposed to do it anyway. And the destination, if we trust God and give him room, this weekend was all about giving him room. If you make room for him, he will take you to a good place.
Come on now.
So we went to a good place. We had more than enough. Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't bring my coat because I was packing like a minister. I was warm enough. We had plenty of food. We had a wonderful place to stay. Great fellowship. We encountered God. We learned to listen and to make room for him. So God takes us on these journeys if we just get in the car, and he always takes us to a good place. And we don't have to know how it's going to happen step by step or what all the little details are.
So good. Thank you, Larry. Remember what I told you last week. The enemy is always after your relationship with God.
Yeah. Do we want to share about the book?
Sure. Go ahead. Today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk to each other. And we're going to talk to you.
I just wanted to inform everybody that they went out to see John Quisenberry, who is a pastor in the Restoration Network. He has a church out there in Charlottesville, and he just wrote a book, mm-hmm. and the book is called
presence-based community.
Yeah.
Be the church, stop doing church.
Just wrote it. So it is available on Amazon for what, a dollar?
For a dollar.
And a donation, correct?
Just a dollar. You just have to write a review. Because he wants to put the book out there.
Yeah. So if you are interested in getting that, and like I said, he is part of the RNI network. So we want to support him and just love what he's doing. So just wanted to say that before we transition to the next part.
This Thursday is the National Day of Prayer, and God's calling us to intercede. And I'm so glad that some of us realized when you can't sleep at night, sometimes, yeah, you might have troubles that keeps you up at night. But you know what? Other times, it might be just a time for you to pray. Might be a time to pray for your grandchildren, pray for the country. Did you know from midnight to 3 o'clock when you study the spiritual realm, there is an open, it's like the spiritual realm is open in heaven. For instance, people that do voodoo and serve the devil, they do their interpolation, like they call out evil spirit. Most of them are active from midnight to 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. When people do sacrifice to the devil, one of the best time they know to do it is from midnight to 3 in the morning. So from now on, if God's waking you up for some reason, pray. So this Thursday, this is our Beyond the Veil, which is something that I'm trying to get the worship team to do. Just come and worship the Lord with no other agenda. Where we just come and we minister to the presence of the Lord. So I invite you this Thursday at 7 o'clock. Come on out. You know, let's pray together. We're going to spend an hour or two in the presence of the Lord just to pray, join our voices with the rest of the so many intercessors. So last week, I talked a little bit about we are a disciple-making church. And the enemy is always after your relationship with the Lord. Not only that, the enemy is always after the relationship we have with one another. Satan doesn't want me to have a good friendship with my wife.
Oh, baby.
He doesn't want that. But guess what? I'm not going to let that happen. We will have a good relationship. It's my choice. It's her choice. When we have issues, tell you a story. We shared it with our home group Wednesday night. Wednesday morning, okay? I went to the gym, did some workout, and then I got back. I was in the garage. I was doing something.
He was lifting weights.
Oh, was I still lifting weights?
You were, I asked him.
Mm-hmm. What did you ask me?
Did you eat?
No. That's not what she said.
And he said, And I said, wow.
No, this is what I heard.
Just let me give my side. And he said, wow. I mean, I thought, oh, wow, he made breakfast already. Like, I knew he was out and about and he was busy. And I was surprised. I'm like, okay, fine. Then I'll just, you know, see if the kids need breakfast.
But I'm thinking, man, what a wonderful wife. You know, she's so good. She came out. I saw her. Guys, believe me, I'm not sure what is she talking about. She said, do you want breakfast? And I'm like,
yeah.
Yes. But then now she's, okay, so I went inside and she's cooking. She's making beautiful eggs, you know, good. It looks good, yummy. And I'm like, yes, man, I'm getting so hungry already. So she put everything on her plate. I walk to the table thinking, it's my food. And she's like, she's just eating her food. I'm like, where's my food? Then she said, well, you said you didn't want any. I said, you asked me if I wanted eggs. She says, no, I didn't ask. What did you?
I said, did you eat?
You see?
Did you eat breakfast?
Communications. Right there.
Anyway, I said, I'll make you breakfast, but first, love, I want to eat mine because it's nice and hot, and I do not like cold eggs.
But do you see how easy it is to misunderstand each other?
Very easy.
And that could have created a wall during that day. I could have get offended, overreact, and then bang, the enemy would steal my peace. Oh, he would. That's what he wants. Satan wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your relationship with your grandchildren. He wants to steal your relationship with your friends. He wants you to misunderstand one another. That's what he wants. You know, and last week, I asked you guys two questions. What would be the reason for you not to go back to a church after visiting it? When we came here, God brought us here. I'm not hired in this church. I'm called. So I won't bail out on you. If I'm going to move, God will move me, and God is not an orphan father. So therefore, he'll never move me as your spiritual authority and leaving you orphan. So be at peace. Be at peace. And I'm like, okay, I told some of the guys this weekend, I was like, when I came, I was thinking, we even talk about it with among your leadership. I'm like, I want to change the name of the church. But now, looking back, I'm glad I didn't, because I love honor. Here in Lynstown Community Church, our philosophy is we love people. We accept you where you're at. We forgive one another no matter what. And we honor. Therefore, we honor the history. I honor the history of the church. I love the fact that some of you have been here for 30 years. I love the fact that those people that built the church are still here, and this is your church. I mean, most of you are not going anywhere. But we also need to realize we are building a new church. God is doing a new thing. Okay? God is doing a new thing. This is a new Lynstown Community Church. We're not looking back. That's why I told you, be excited. So some of you, give me answers. I'm not going to tell who. I don't even know. I put all of them together. You might recognize some of your answers. And we're going to talk about it for a little bit. So what would be the reason for you not to go back to a church after visiting it the first time? And then the question number two is, would you invite someone to your church or your home group? If yes, why? If not, why?
I do want a quick add before we get into this, that I was reading Voice of the Martyrs magazine yesterday. They have an issue on China. This is a first world issue or problem or whatever you want to call it, you know, to try to get people to go to church. That just makes me so sad. And here I'm reading about China, and they have cameras for every two people in the country. They know where everybody is and what they're doing. And the leaders, they tell their congregations, they're like, well, if people are watching you, then you better be the best Christian ever. And they were comparing it to, you know, Christ, who watches over us and records everything that we do and that we say. And in the end, there's going to be, you know, the book of life is going to be opened, and everything that we've ever thought, everything we've ever done is recorded. And so we don't have to be afraid of cameras. I would rather have a fear for God, because he is watching and he is the true judge. And in China, they, you know, raid your house and put you in prison and you suffer. And their leaders say, if they're watching your every move, then you make sure that you are living out the true gospel, because first of all, that's a witness. And second, you know, you're going to be persecuted for that, and that's an honor. And so to think about, you know, the option of going to church or not going to church and all the little petty things, I don't like this about that church, and that just made me, I don't know, my stomach just churned. It's such a privilege and such an honor to come together as believers. We have so much freedom in this country to do that, as well as many other countries. So when we come together, let's, like you all said, let's be the church. Let's want to come here because this is too loud, or it's too cold, or you don't like the color. That's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. You know, people Amen. Worshiping in dirt.
Amen.
And it's your heart. That's what's important.
And they're meeting God.
Yeah. And that's why we loved your answers, because your answers are heartfelt answers.
I love them.
Yeah, we do want to get together for the real and the right reasons.
And that's the church I want to lead. I want to lead a disciple-making church. I want to lead a presence-based church. I want to lead a family. Guess what? I have no program to offer anybody. This church, I mean, we don't have youth group. We will have youth group. Let's go in here, because there's a lot to talk about. Somebody says, I wouldn't go back to the church if they were preaching something that didn't align with the Bible. Agreed? So that's why here our foundation is the Word of God. Every scripture is God's breath. So I believe the Bible. I don't come here and preach my personal conviction. So here in Lenstown Community Church, the Bible, the Word of God, is our guide. My values are based, are constructed upon the Word of God. Not human's conviction. You know, the other thing the person says, if something didn't feel right to my spirit. I like that. And then somebody says, yes, I would invite people to my small group with this church. It says, I would invite to a small group with this church before I would invite them to service. Why? I would invite them to service too, but I would want them to get to know our church body in a small group more. I like that. I value small group. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says they devoted themselves to the preaching, to the teaching of the apostles, but they also shared life together. The church is a home group. We come together. And we're not, it's not religious or a religion. We come together and we do life. I have spoken to my cell leaders, some of you that can't drive at night. We're going to come to your house and do the home group in your home. We have to do life together. I rebuke the spirit of COVID-19. COVID-19 is a demon. It comes to divide us, to keep us apart from each other. That's not the gospel. God didn't create you to live your life in isolation. God created us for intimacy with Him and intimacy with one another. Reason not to return to a church: lack of warmth and being invisible by the entire congregation. That's why. When somebody visited this community, I'm asking all of you here to look for an unfamiliar face. Now, some people, they probably don't like everybody, but please make sure. That's why, I mean, I don't want to lead a big church. I think 50 people, I'm perfectly fine with 50 people. But I have led a church with over 200 people. We divided in small group. I talk with my cell leaders. Guess what? If God brings us 150 people, I'm going to know all 150 people. I know you're not here. Because God gave me a burden. He gave me a passion. I love you. So I want to know how you're doing. I called you. I check on you. So let's do the same thing. Let's love one another. I mean, I'm talking about real love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not seek its own interests. Don't befriend somebody because you see you might take advantage or there's something you might want. No, 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 no. That's not love. I really like this. This person says, yes, I would invite friends to church, but I wouldn't invite them to my home group. And then it goes, because my home group is my safe place. I love that. But I have something to add. You want to add something? Are you good? Should I keep talking?
Well, here she says ladies group.
Okay, ladies group or men's group. Your home group is your safe place.
Yeah.
Your home group is where all of us can be vulnerable. But most of us, if not all of us here, we don't like vulnerability. See, vulnerability is you're vulnerable when you open. You see, if I come here, like Friday when I got in the car, I told the guys right away, guys, I'm sad. I mean, most of you haven't seen me when I'm sad yet. But I felt sadness in my heart Friday because I was dealing with some stuff that our friends in Haiti are dealing with. I am vulnerable. I have nothing to hide. You can't judge me. My home group is my safe place. And I'm praying that all of us can get the same revelation. Yeah. None of us here is perfect. That's why religion gives us a bunch of rules to follow. 1, 2, 3. You think, well, if I follow 1, 2, 3, then I'm better than him. None of us is better. Nobody here is better than anybody else. God doesn't love you more than anybody else. See, that's a revelation. So I really like this answer because that person finds safety in their home group. But yet, my challenge to you would be you need to open that safe place to a lot more other people that are looking for a safe place. Because one of the reasons people hate church, it's because church people are hypocrites. I say hypocrisy stop right here. And if you say the same thing, guess what? We're going to have a community where we are real to one another. Where there's no judgment. I read it this morning. He's not judging you. God doesn't make you feel, filth. Get up, dirty. No, he said, come as you are. Come just like you are. And I tell you, until you experience that, and I showed you last week a picture of the kid under the president's desk. And that's it. We all have direct access to Father. Somebody says, I wouldn't return to a church I visit if the people were not friendly. So then I have another question for you. Tell me here. Now I need answer. How can you tell someone is friendly? Smile. See, now we have a big problem. And the other thing is, Aaron, what did you say? Come on, Aaron. You want to say something? You good? You're good. The other thing is, this is just the season right now, okay? We all wearing a mask. But you know, your eyes speak a lot. If I'm not smiling, you can tell. If I'm mad behind the mask, if I'm giving you an attitude behind a mask, you will tell. So as much as we have to wear our mask for the season, it will all be over, but keep smiling.
That's right. Last month I told Ricardo, I said, man, I just, like he said, we, you know, our goal is not to fill up the seats. Our goal is to have quality people that love Jesus. But I know because we're seeking God's presence, there's going to be new people that are coming and going to be attracted to that. And I told him, I can't wait for that to happen because this church is such a warm, friendly, inviting space.
Amen.
It is. It is. I mean, you guys, just the way that you loved us, we felt it. And, you know, I keep telling him, I said, you guys are just so ready. You all are so ready. You are so ready to welcome the families with the young kids, welcome the families with the teenagers, welcome the orphans, welcome all types of people because there's all types of people that are represented here, and you guys know how to love people well, and you're very friendly and very warm. So I am just excited about what God is going to do in the next couple years.
It's good. There are people out there that are looking for love. We all love when people loved us, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like when somebody like you or love you, go check yourself out. You know? All of us want love. So, which one?
We had somebody that visited us a while ago, and she wrote us when she got back home, and she said, I felt more welcome here than I do in my home church. And she's from another state. She said, I don't even know if people in my church know my name, you know, or even see me. But she said she came here, and she felt seen, and she felt welcomed. That is just a testimony of the community of God. I was so happy to hear that.
So this is the culture we want to keep. This is the culture we're going to long after. We fight for relationships. I will fight for your relationship. I go after a relationship. I want your friendship. Because that's what Jesus did. It's not religion. Now I want to talk, I want to touch a couple more. But one person talk about, well, I would invite people to my church, but I would be very cautious on inviting someone with small children. I'm young, okay? As a matter of fact, I don't mind being the youth pastor right now. But yeah, you like invite anybody with youth right now. But guess what? We need youth. If you don't invite anybody with youth, with young people, how will we have youth? And let me stand up for this. And I'm going to repeat. We have no program to offer anybody. We want children ministry. But you know what I want? You know what we want? I want people that are going to minister to our children. I want them to be restored Christians. I want them to be able to teach our children the Bible out of Mark, Luke, John, the history of Jesus, the covenant of God. That's what I want. See, those things are not bothering. When I come here, I don't see kids running around. I don't worry about it. Because I know there are seekers out there in God's timing that will find what God's doing here in this place. So my encouragement to you would be, and if you love your church, and if God's doing something, and you know a family that is looking for a kingdom-minded place, or invite them. I would rather have our children sitting doing worship. Get them to color. Let the children come to the Lord. Let them be children. Let them see you, us, adult, raising our hands, worship the Lord. Let them see it instead of shoving the kids into a classroom. Let them experience the presence of the Lord right here. That's what I want. I don't want to have all the kids, yes, I'm doing sermon, you know. You divide the kids and get them to go receive the gospel in kids' language. But I don't want to water down the gospel because they're kids.
Yes, that's right.
Because they know how to hate well. I mean, who taught a kid to be selfish? Who taught us to be selfish? Beautiful baby, you know, innocent and wide awake, I mean, they're fighting for their toys. Who taught them that? It's because our hearts are evil and we all need Jesus. So here in our church, I want the teenagers. Right now we have Ryan and Alyssa and Michaela and Connor and Heidi, and those are the things. I have six I can count on. Guess what? I'm going to start reaching out to them so we can meet and do youth things together and pray together and share Jesus together. I am. So please, I understand your concern, but guess what? Invite young families. Because here our focus is not the kids' program. And I know sometimes parents, we come to church and we don't want the responsibility for your kid. It's like, I come to church, I just want to worship. But I tell you, you want your kids to have experience with the presence of God. So even for the fact they are here coloring, they're listening, seeing people worshiping, that's good for them.
Yes.
That is so good for them. Things that I would say for others. Service is too long. Oh, I tell you. Abiding. You know what abiding, we were learning it this week again. Abiding, there's no English word for abiding. But there are some ways you can describe abiding. Is hang out. How many of you likes hang out with your friends, with your buddies? Yeah. Let's go hang out. Let's go hang out at the park. Yeah. Hang out, right? Hang out has no expiration date. It's like sometimes, man, you got to go home. Man, the hangout, man, I got to, we'll see you tomorrow. But even on the way from hanging out, you're still texting each other. Abiding is hanging out. So when we come here and we're hanging out in the presence of the Lord, I tell you, when it's good, when God is in our midst, you do not watch your, oh, man, it's 11:43 already, man. What's, oh, my goodness. And then while you're sitting here, you're thinking about, man, what am I going to have for lunch? I've got a game tonight at 2:30. And, you know, it's like, man, your attention is so divided. I went to the courthouse the other day. I mean, they do that at the embassy as well. At the door, they took your phone. I talked last week, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ is a disciplined one. So you discipline yourself to read the Bible. You discipline yourself to pray. So a disciple also makes sure they close the distractions. Do you know our cell phone is a great tool? But sometimes I tell you, when you're in church, it might be good to turn it off or maybe to mute it or something like that. Or not checking Facebook while you are in a meeting. I take that example between me and Kendra. My phone, I work on my phone. You know, it's like, wow, last couple weeks ago, I went to Texas to the discipleship training. The first thing we got there, the first thing they said, everybody turn your phone off all week long. Guys, I did a, it was good for me. It can wait. It can wait. The enemy will always be after your relationship with God. As a priest, when I'm spending time with God, if I don't turn off my phone, that's when it starts ringing like crazy. Texts, Facebook messages, WhatsApp messages, phone calls, spam calls, they all came at that time. Because the enemy is always and will always be after your relationship. Go ahead. Let's do two more. But I'll do this one. This one's a good one. I would not visit a church if I felt unwelcomed. Or if people at the church were phony acting. Let's not be that way. As God bring us new people. But I like the... I would definitely invite people to my home group. But I would be careful about who I invite to church. I don't think that people with alternative lifestyle would be welcome. Now, let me straight this out. Anybody with alternative lifestyle are welcome here. This is not a club. Don't put God in a box. This is not a white church. This is not a black church. This is not a Republican church. This is not a Democratic church. This is, I stand and I declare, this is the church of Jesus Christ. This is the church of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. The Bible, that's what we follow. Don't put your church into a category. This is not a Mennonite church. This is not a whatever Baptist church. We are the church of Christ. Jesus Christ died for the church. He said, I will build my church. My church. This is not my church. This is not Ricardo Francois' church. The church belongs to Christ. To Jesus. So we follow him. We give him room. We give him space. We're in love with him. He's returning, guys. Jesus is coming back. This world needs to experience the love of Christ. And Jesus is not going to come to live on earth again. He has us here on earth for such purpose, to allow us to interact with people out there so they can see, you know what? It's not religion. I hate religion. And I hope you do too. I hope you hate religion. Yes, you can hate religion. Don't hate people. But hate religion. Despise religion. Because religion makes you stiff. It keeps you in a judgmental state. You're always judging people. Oh, you better. This person is not right. This person doesn't look right. That's religion. Jesus is not religious. He accepts all.
And I would add that people that come here with addictions, you name it, alternative lifestyles, you name it, we would pray and hope that when they come here in the presence of God that they would be delivered and that they would understand what it means to be free, just like we understand what it means to be free. So that's why we welcome all kinds of people. It doesn't mean that when we welcome them, we hope that they choose Jesus and they become free. We don't want people to stay in their sins, including ourselves. We don't want you to keep coming and coming and coming and have bitterness and have unforgiveness and have secret addictions. That's when the church is religious and phony and not real. When the real gospel is preached and there's time and room and space for Holy Spirit to convict people, then they change. Then they change. Then they really, really change. Not us judging them. So that's what I pray, that we would be a loving church. Not we love them in their sin, but in hopes that they would encounter Jesus who can take them out of their sin and set them free. Do you see the difference?
I'm going to stop. But I like this. This person says, though I do appreciate liturgical services, which means ritual, sacramental, ceremonial, you sing this song, you sing two songs, and you sing, there's an announcement. You see, here in Lynchtown Community Church, I have no structure. Our worship today, we had no structure. The ministry team, they prepared a song list. But you know what? We ministered to the presence of the Lord.
That's the structure.
That is the structure. That's what we're looking for. Thank you. But I know some of you might like that. You come to church and you expect the priest to hear from God and to tell you what God's saying. That's the Old Testament. God wants to have a personal relationship with each one of you. Like Jerry said, when you have things that you walk as priest.
Yes.
Of course you face stuff in life. You have things that you're dealing with. But as you come to minister to the presence of the Lord through worship, and as we share the word of God, your hearts are open for him to work and restore you. Now let me ask you this. Wouldn't this be a good church for you to want to be part of, what we talk about now? And that's the church of Christ. You know, I want to thank you, and I thank each one of you, yeah, seriously, for taking the time to give me, to pour your heart out. I mean, good stuff. As for me and the Lord's house, we will follow him. We will serve Christ. We will give him room. We will give him space. Be proud of what God is doing here. Be excited of what God is doing here. You know? And take part. Continue to support it. However, wherever you can support it. Wherever. God began with Moses when he was how old again?
40.
You guys remember?
40.
Okay. Anyway. Abraham, you know, remember how old Abraham was? I'm not going to tell you. You need to go find out.
He was old.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to tell you. You're gonna open your Bible. Man, how old was Abraham? You will never forget it from today. Next Sunday, I'll ask you the same question and you'll know it. Amen? Let's pray. As I ask the worship team to come up, they're going to do two more songs. Father, we thank you today for what you're doing in our midst, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you and we choose to be your church. We open our hearts and we open this place and we ask that you would continue to unfold your will. As we continue to worship you and give you room in this place, stretch out your hands. Unfold your goodness and your plan in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.